Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to Immediate Match Reaction here on the Rangers Rabble podcast to what was an absolutely outstanding performance by Rangers tonight in Portugal against a team who are a good, very good team. Don't lose at home. Never lost at home in the Europa League. Don't like a challenge right enough, and sometimes don't even like it when you don't challenge them and they still go down. But take absolutely nothing away from that Rangers team tonight. We consider all the injuries that we had in that team. You consider how well we played. Sometimes it was backs against the wall, but I thought we'd done it superbly. To come away from Portugal with a 2-2 draw in the circumstances that we're in, take them back to Ibrox, phenomenal. I'm so proud of that Rangers team tonight. I am joined by Robert Ritchie and Mark again. Gents, hello. Hello to everybody tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. Get your comments in, get your questions in. I already see there's a super chat in. We'll get to that in a wee second. Thank you very much for the support. But Robert, I'll start with you straight away, mate. Amazing.
Listen, it's a solid away performance in Europe that we've become accustomed to really with Rangers over the last few years. Manager called it before the game. He said, you know, we'd have to weather a storm and then obviously take our chances, and we've certainly done that. Maybe we'll talk about the goals that we gave away, I'm sure, in detail, but listen, as you were saying before we came on, proud of them. Everyone put in a shift, which we said we'd have to do before kick-off, and some great performances throughout that team.
Yeah, I mean, to put it into context, Richie, we're playing a right-back at right-wing, we're playing a striker at left-wing. We've got half a team out, injured. We go to a really, really difficult, probably one of the hardest draws we could have got away from home in the first leg, and we put on a performance like that. And look, I get people will say that, you know, Benfica had the majority of the chances, which they did the majority of chances, majority of possession. But in the overall balance of play, I think, you know, we can be delighted with the draw, absolutely delighted with the draw. But I think in the back of our heads, we were probably saying to ourselves, if we had just done one or two little things differently, we could have came away for there with a win.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Not to get that one.
Yeah, and it's always going to happen in games where you're in front twice and you know, despite what you might have thought at the beginning, and I'm sure like all of us, I mean, some of our predictions were for us to win, of course, but I'm sure like there's not a single person here that wouldn't have taken the result at the beginning. So we should be immensely proud of the team and and the performance from the whole squad, really. I think there was always going to be moments where it was a bit back to the wall. There were going to be moments where we make a few mistakes. We just had to hope that they weren't too costly and that we took advantage of some opportunities that were afforded to us by Benfica. And I think they, on another night, we might have nicked a win. But they did have some chances as well and some spells where, as you say, we were completely back to the wall. But it's a real kind of it galvanizes us after that little blip at the weekend. And I'm just immensely proud of the effort of the whole team. The reason I'm not jumping about shouting is because I've got a house of children sleeping, so I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm, but deep down in here, I'm absolutely...
Something about that didn't sound quite right. I've got a house of children sleeping, but yeah, have your kids in the house sleeping is probably a better way to phrase it. But no,
six of one.
Obviously, the Richie's the Rag podcast.
Right. So, I know, and look, we could spend all night, we could spend the next 4 hours going through forensically every single Rangers player who played on that park, because I'm giving every single one of them the night pass marks, the way that me and you were speaking, and channel member KW, you know, Red Van could sign for the Secret Service the amount of times he stopped bullets tonight. We'll come to Red Van, we'll talk Lundstrom, we'll talk Silva, we'll talk Dessers, but I want to start, Mark, and we'll go through the goals in a wee second, but I think it would be remiss of us not to start with England's, no question, number one goalkeeper, Jack Butland. Again, we said it in the build-up. You know, if you want to come away to places like this with any kind of result, you have to have a top-quality goalkeeper, and that goalkeeper has to perform. Fucking hell, did that guy perform tonight?
Listen, I think he's proved himself. He got slated by a couple of ex-England players through the week, saying he wasn't good enough. Absolute bullshit. Bullshit. I don't care what anybody says. He doesn't get tested enough in Scotland, blah, blah, blah. He's just done it at the highest level there. Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. And just obviously my comment on the team. Heart, desire, commitment. Probably the biggest word I can say is character. Every single one of them, a man ran a heart out. Left every single one of them left that pitch tonight absolutely soaking wet with sweat. Can't be any more prouder than them. But yeah, back to Butland. I don't know. I just every time I see him, he grows. He gets better and better and better and better. I don't know where the ceiling is for this guy. As he grows with his club and he grows with his team, sky's the limit for the boy. I really do. I mean, he's still got, but he's 30. Was he 30, 31 maybe? Still got easily another 6 years at the top, possibly more. Hopefully that's going to be with us. But yeah, you run out of superlatives for a man. He's just, I mean, some of the saves, that double save where the ball actually went over the top of him and he rolled over to get it. Just outstanding, absolutely outstanding. You can actually see that the calm that he brings to the back four as well, even like when he goes up, collects a ball. Just everybody seems so much calmer. But yeah, just for me, as I said, he's slapped these couple of ex-England players that said he wasn't good enough to get into this England squad. Slapped him in the face tonight. And listen, see if Southgate's not watching that and looking at that, then there's something far, far wrong, because this boy is one of the boys that I was sitting with, Darryl, the night watching it, says, for me, he's the best goalkeeper in Britain at the minute. And I know sometimes we get carried away with our blue-tinted glasses and stuff like that. But for me, outstanding. Absolutely outstanding, boy.
So, was it not Di Maria who said before, and I might be taking this out of context, I don't know, he's one of the top goalkeepers in Europe. And I genuinely don't think I could argue. Albeit, I don't watch a lot of European football, so I'm being slightly hypocritical in that, right? I totally get that. Trying to remember Mark Doyle, my wife wants Butland to have her babies. My wife's free and all. So if Jack's up for it, then he's got my permission as well. Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, yeah. If Jack's up for it, somebody get Jack the phone. Are you up for it? Are you up for Martin's permission?
All I'm saying is he's got my permission. He's got my permission. No doubt he'd be get all and all. excuse me, there's a few super chats to get through. First of all, Jim Sloan. Easy, the famous £10 super chat. Thank you very much for the support, Jim. Charles, I've got yours there, but I'm going to bring it up when we come on to speak about that goal. I'll bring your super chat up. Robert, honestly, when people spoke about, you know, Butland being looked at by Southgate for England, it was always in the back of my mind, you know, I know how good Jack Butland is, but he's never going to get that call up because he's playing in Scotland. You know, Pickford will always get picked ahead of him. Pope will always get picked ahead of him. Dean Henderson probably, but is he Crystal Palace? He'll get picked ahead of him. But see, after a performance of that and the performances that that guy has put in, and again, on Mark's point, you know, sometimes we've got the blue tinted specs on and we get too ahead of ourselves. It's an immediate match reaction, so you're through the roof of your emotions. But that guy has got to be, you know, up there as one of England's top goalkeepers.
Listen, the biggest compliment I can pay him is the fact that he just makes it look so easy. You know, effortless at times. And I heard, you know, a bit like Mark heard, sort of pundits talk about him during the week. One of them was comparing them to Sam Johnson, who I just thought was absolutely laughable. Listen, I've got no preference whether he plays for England or not. I couldn't give a monkey's. As long as he's playing for Rangers and turning in those kind of performances, that's all I'm bored about. If he doesn't go to the Euros with England, brilliant, because I'll be watching Scotland and hoping we can go as far as we can. But certainly, you know, if he does get a call up, then I'm sure it would add to his value if we were looking to sell him on. Sometimes, but I don't really want to, because it's going to be really difficult to replace him. He's only been here, what, 7-8 months, and he's become a stalwart. The guys in the back four obviously know what's behind them as well. There's a trust there and a security. So when the guys are getting in behind, then they know Button's there, and he's going to, you know, 9 times out of 10 pull off a saving and keep us in it. So not really fussed if he gets a call up for England. Delighted if he does. Not too bored if he doesn't. But in terms of his performance tonight, he was very, very good. Specifically, first half, I thought he pulled off a number of good saves.
And you could, I mean, pick out whatever save you want, Robert. But it's almost as if we've just got this knack for Robert just finding these amazing goalkeepers. We always seem to get them.
Listen, since I've been a lad, we've always had a good goalie. Obviously, during the banter years, you want to call him that, we were maybe not as blessed. But, you know, you think it's like a Stephen Klaus, Andy Gorham, McGregor twice, and now Jack Butland. To get him on a free as well is a masterstroke. So just hope his form continues. It looks to be enjoying himself. I know guys, on Monday night, we're at the Graham Souness event. He was there. And he spoke well and spoke about how surprised he was, you know, the size of the club and the family of the club as well. So he's bought into it. I don't see him going anywhere other than if it's Germany for the Euros. He's going to beat Rangers for another couple of years, I'm convinced.
Yeah, and like I say, Charles and Lockheed, if you will, I'll get to your super chats very, very, very shortly. All right, Richie, on to the game then. And I think it started the way that we all expected it to start. Benfica on the front foot, desperately trying to get the opening goal. Clearly, our manager's under a lot of pressure, even though they're second in the league and through the last 16 of the Europa. But our manager's under severe pressure. You could see that, and they were quite nervy, but at the same time, they were pushing forward. And even before we scored, and I know it was the 7th minute we scored, so it was really early. But I'm sitting watching it, and I'm going, I'm quite comfortable here. I'm no fear. I don't feel as if we're under that much pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, both teams were sort of feeling each other out early doors. I think my first thought when the game started was, how empty was that stadium? I couldn't believe the empty seats, man. Like, honestly, it's absolutely shocking. But I was looking at the formation, and like we seemed to be it was interesting with dropping into a almost like a 4-5-1 without the ball, looked fairly comfortable, and then Diamande was on the front foot as soon as we were on the break and in possession, and that seems to be working really well initially.
How good is he, Richie? How good is Diamande? I'm sorry I'm cutting it across, right, but I'm excited, so I don't care. How good is that?
Yeah, I mean, Diamande and Cortez, I mean, what a pair of January signings. What fantastic business on a shoestring. The pair of them look like the sky's the limit, and this is exactly... These are we talked about the profile of signings and how it felt a bit different to the business in the summer, but you know, these are the kind of the exact type of signings that we need to be making to A, be successful, and B, potentially turn a large profit to sustain that success as well. So absolutely phenomenal. And no, I didn't think that we were overly troubled. That there's always that kind of sense of you go into it with the fear factor about that we'd listen to all of the Benfica podcasts around like how they press and you know, how good they are on the break and how dangerous they can be. We know that their attacking players come with a serious pedigree, but no, I thought in the initial stages of the play, I didn't feel overly concerned, and I think we did settle into the game, you know, as an away side in Europe pretty well, to be honest with you.
That was what surprised me the most, Mark, was they had the majority of the ball. They were always going to have the majority of the ball, but how comfortable we were. All right, you're always going to raise your luck in Europe, but I just felt, for the minute the game started, right up until the end, that we're not losing this.
No, I think you're right. And biggest thing that kind of struck me tonight was, when you look back at the start of the season, how disorganised we looked. How organised did we look tonight? Absolutely brilliant. The shape, the way they all fought for each other, the way they all spoke to each other, the way they funneled back in. Absolutely brilliant. As I said, I'm proud of every single one of them. They've done an absolutely marvellous job tonight. I'm really, really proud of them.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to get a bit of time there.
I know.
I'm coughing like a madman. The first goal then, Robert, comes after 7 minutes. We hit him on the break. Lovely bit of play. Diamandi again. Beautiful ball into the box. And the man who we've spoke about for weeks, and we've said, if we can keep this guy fit, if we can get him back in that team, he can be the absolute difference maker in Tom Lawrence.
Some header, eh? Absolutely. Keepers, no chance. It's great work, actually, for Silva on the left-hand side, who I thought just looked more natural out there tonight. I don't know if you guys would agree there. Seems more comfortable when he's facing a man up and able to take them on, rather than have his back to, you know, centre-half. So I thought he'd done great. It's a wonderful cross. I think Silva actually thinks he's going to manage to get on the end of it, but he sees Lawrence in front of him and just leaves him to it. And it was a bit of a shock, actually, because we'd been a bit under the foot for the caution, I say, for the first 6 minutes, but defended ever so well tonight. I mean, I can't understand the furore in the comments at some of the centre-halves. Yeah, they made a couple of mistakes, but, you know, those bodies on the line all through that, from minute one to minute 95, with even young McKinnon came on. So I don't understand what he's looking for. We're up against a higher calibre side from the continent. We've gone out there and absolutely, you know, as Mark says, done ourselves proud. So it's game on.
Benfica spent 100 million euros in the summer transfer window. That's
what you're listening to the manager saying that we had no money to spend in January. We've had to be, you know, be smart about the deals we've done. So it's credit to the manager. As Mark said there, you know, about the organisation, players know their jobs now. The messages are clear. There's no more bluffing. That this guy that's in charge is driving the ship in the right manner. And again, just so many, you know, performances to shout about tonight. I don't want to hear any negativity in these comments. Come on, guys.
I know. Listen, I'm all for supporters, for us to be, oh, we can do better, we can always improve, we can do better. But see, sometimes you have to just sit up and go, that's a great result and that's a great performance. You're never going to, no player, Richie, is going to play 100% at his peak for 90 minutes of a football game, or 90 or 150 minutes now, as it seems to be with VAR, right? But you've got to just sometimes sit up and go, no, see, when you put all the factors together, that's a great result, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, you know, the majority of games that we play, you know, we're the favourites. We're on the front foot straight away. So it is a little bit different when you're faced with the proposition of playing a team that, you know, you're not necessarily expected to dominate the ball and maybe, you know, fancied by, commentators and bookies and whoever else is, you know, analysing the game from a neutral perspective. But no, there'll always be moments where mistakes are made. I think, I'm not calling out anybody specifically in the comments, but I think some people just have a thing with certain players where they go into what they're watching a game with a certain mindset and waiting for a particular mistake or something to occur because they've got that thing. We've all seen it with some of the summer signings, and people have the players that they like and the players that they don't. But I think on the whole, you could, talking about the centre halves, I mean, obviously we'll go on to talk about Goldson's, you know, error, lack of concentration, lack of a shout, whatever it might have been for the second goal. But, you know, I think, as Robert said, it was bodies on the line covering one another, some great last ditch effort. And it's not just the physical side of things, like the mental focus required to ensure that our movement off the ball was absolutely superb, I thought, for the vast majority. And if it isn't, then teams like Benfica are just going to make absolute mincemeat of you. There's no question about it. So, no, I think the whole team deserve huge amounts of credit. That's not to say that there aren't moments that we could have done better. Of course, there always will be. But, I'm not feeling the negativity to the defence at all. And I even think Tav was always going to be potentially having like moments of being under the cosh a little bit. But I think he was covered well by Lundstrom, and I think there were times there with those balls that come into the back post where we often see him falling short. I thought there were a couple of occasions there where he did really well to get in at the last minute. So no, I think there's on balance, I think it was a superb performance.
Right, okay, Mark, let's discuss the Benfica equaliser. 45th minute, they got a penalty. Now, I mean, what we should really be doing for the next week or 2 weeks, actually, I think, is phoning the Clyde One Super Scoreboard and claiming conspiracy against us, right? But I doubt we'll do that, but we probably should. Now, the corner comes in, Sutter heads it, and heads it. I think Sutter heads it. I'm hearing different reports, but from what I've seen, Sutter heads it on his arm, which is up like that, right? A, is it a penalty? B, is it harsh? C, should it be given? D, what?
Well, for me, my first impressions when I seen it straight away was it was a pen. The more I seen it, after about 15 replays, I thought, hold on a minute, did it skiff his head before it hit his hand? So, A, I think it was a penalty. B, I can't remember what the fuck B was.
It's the same question.
I think it was a penalty. I think that, see, if it happened to us, we'd all be screaming and bawling and shouting and ranting and raving at the TV. So I think it was a penalty. For me, it doesn't do yourself any favours jumping in for a header like that. I don't understand what he was actually doing with his hand there at all. So straight away he's gave the referee a decision to make, and they say my initial thoughts was it was a pen, still one penalty, and everybody I was sitting with watching it all said it was a pen straight away. The more it got played, the more I was like, I don't know. But it's almost as if if it did hit his head, it's like very, very finely skiffed his head, and then it's hit his hand. So for me, it was travelling goalward when it hit his hand. So pen, as far as I'm concerned. I know some people are saying it's soft and that, but some people need to take the blue tinted glasses off and go like, do you know what? See, if it happened against us, we'd both be screaming to tell it's a pen. I think, especially on a European night, especially in a tense tie where we're looking to get a goal in it. So for me, it was a pen. I'm sorry, people might not agree with me.
No, I'll tell you what, right? See, for every single person who puts it wasn't a penalty in their comments, the next comment is it was a penalty. So the comments can't even agree on it. And Robert, the reason I asked the question, because, you know, if you're smart enough, you should be able to know or have a rough idea if something's a penalty or if it's not a penalty. The reason I asked, Robert, is I don't know the rules on the handball anymore, right? And I've got people saying the IFAB rules are, if you head a ball onto your arm or onto your hand, it's not a penalty. And then I've got people saying to me, No, if it touches your hand in the box or your arm in the box now, it's a penalty. And then there's people saying, oh, it has to be in an unnatural position, but if it's in a natural position, then it stops a goal score. So, Robert, I don't know what a handball is anymore.
No, I don't think MD does, and the rules are, you know, really murky this season. You know, we saw in our own league at the weekend that a handball that's been shouted out for the last 3 days. I just think that it's the unnatural position for me that when I see the replay, I think that's going to get given against us. And sure as hell, it does get given against us. I say it at a really bad time. At the time, I was heartbroken because I thought, you know, we could have seen this out to half-time. But little did I know what was coming. And then, you know, Di Maria should should probably, you know, not be on the park at this point, because he's dived before that on with Goldson.
We'll get to Di Maria, don't worry.
I don't know why that wasn't reviewed, but yeah, listen, I've got all I can say is it's the unnatural hand position, you know, that makes me think, or made me think at the time, that that's going to get given, and it does get given. And then Butland's booked for, I don't know if it's time wasting or gamesmanship, whatever you want to call it, and Di Maria just rolls it in the back of the net.
If that's given Robert in Scotland against a certain football club, do we hear the end of that?
Well, we haven't heard the end of it this week, have we? You know, we've got their manager up against, hearings in weeks' times, and just goes on and on and on. But listen, we're not like that. There's loads, and I don't really want to be sitting here for the next 20-30 minutes talking about refereeing decisions. There's loads and loads of good stuff in that game, football stuff that we can talk about. It was given. They've scored, and we move on. And move on we did.
Well, move on we did, Richie, because 2 minutes later, Silva, right, who I thought was excellent tonight. See, when I say that I thought he was excellent, Richie, see, in the same breath, you can also say that he was probably trying stuff at certain times that he shouldn't. He looked as if he was trying too hard, but at the same time, he was also excellent in what he'd done. And he'd done amazingly out in the left, puts a ball into the box. Now, Richie, the question I've got, it's kind of a two-part question. It's, where did Sterling come from? And what the fuck?
Yeah, and I think that's a question that's going to be going around the Benfica dressing room as well, because there's a lot of players there stood very, very still while he made a perfectly timed run to play the ball into the net. But yeah, it was a fantastic run, and yeah, congratulations on his first European goal. Absolutely fantastic, and he deserves it for a fantastic performance.
No, his first senior goal, Richie.
His first senior goal, right? Yeah. Okay. Either way, congratulations, because it was brilliant, and it was just perfect timing for us. On Silva, I think he was excellent tonight. You can see his quality, the way he maneuvers his body, shields the ball. I do agree that it looked at times that he was trying a little bit hard to sort of do the unthinkable where it maybe didn't need to be done. But I just thought he was so clever in his movement, and just that little twist and shimmy and turn, and just finding the simple pass. I was really, really pleased with him out on the left-hand side as well. And I think that that's an option that we can hopefully use more frequently now, because like Clement's been very reluctant, or it seems that he's been reluctant to use him there. It always seems to have been either Dessers or Silva in the lone position up top. And now hopefully we've got another option, and maybe, you know, like everybody can look at his goal scoring record and think it's maybe not quite where it should be, but maybe we can unlock some more of his quality from out there on the left. Because I thought he was fantastic tonight and a huge part of everything we were doing going forward.
Right, I just want to take a couple of these super chats, and I'll bring this, Mark, to you. So there's two, right, and they're both for Charles. So the first one, great result, all played well, but just thought it was basic mistakes. But as I said, I would have taken a draw and that performance. And then the second super chat, which we'll add into that one. So thank you for the support, Charles. Greatly appreciated. What is Goldson doing? But I would have bitten your hand off for a draw. So obviously Benfica equalised on the 67th minute or the 68th minute. We said that, Mark, we can't really pull any negatives. We're so proud of the team. But you can break down individual mistakes. And can you maybe have a go at Butland there for not giving him a shout? Should Goldson be more aware of what's round about him? Should the player be closed down before he gets the ball into the box? Or is it just a case of just everything, the Swiss cheese model, as they call it?
I think you're probably right. I think that at a certain point he was committed, and that was it. And I think he's obviously misjudged the flight of the ball, and he's been committed, and instead of ducking and possibly scoring a goal or getting a goal scored against us, sorry, he's just tried to head it, he's tried to clear it. These things happen. Look, this is what it is. That ball could have come in another 80 times and it would have probably never put that in the net once. So, listen, I think these things kind of even themselves out at some points in that game we rode a lot. Let's be realistic. If we're going to, some points they hammered us for spells. So and we rode a lot. There was a few. They had shanked a few shots and had decent chances and stuff like that. And even that the save with Jack Butland that we were talking about, where it went over the top of him and he rolled towards the goal. He was facing towards the goal when he saved it. So these things happen. He's not going to be the first. It's not going to be the last own goal that a defender scores. I'm not going to beat him up about it. These things happen. And as you said, there's a bit of hand off him for a draw, coming away there from there with a draw, taking that Ibrox. Ibrox is going to be rocking next week. Oh, absolutely rocking. And it's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Just on Goldson there, so you've just mentioned two instances, right? Our second goal, Goldson actually forces that error from the goalkeeper to keep the ball alive, right? He's the one that's in there. Then you look at the chance you've just mentioned there, the fact that when it comes over Butland, it's because Goldson is in there for a walk. Why are we not praising that stuff as much as if we're going to fire into him for the own goal? No, I thought, as I say, it's a moment in isolation in the game. Yeah, it could have been better. But you've got to take all the other stuff he done in the game as well to make a balanced opinion of it. And I thought, as I say, the back four and the goalkeeper were really, really good tonight.
100%. I think you're 100% right. Yeah. It's just one of these things that happens. And do you know what? See if we get a bet 2-1. We'd all be raging because of that. Yeah, but it's 2-2. Great result away from home in Europe. We're taking it back to Ibrox. So, as I said, I understand. But let's know. We seem to be doing, especially this season, we seem to be picking fault with everything rather than just enjoying the night, enjoying the result, enjoying the performance. For once, let's just not pick holes in everybody. I mean, I see people in the comments here slaughtering Dessers. I thought Dessers in the first half was outstanding. They're saying he's terrible, he's hiding this and that. Listen, he's playing in Europe. Otamendi's been a top centre half for what, 8-10 years? Been world class for 8-10 years. He's played all over the world, World Cup winner. And all of a sudden Dessers, who was rotten against X, Y, and Z in the Scottish League, playing up against him. I thought he held the ball up well in the first half. Granted he fell away in the second half, but I said, let's not pick negatives. Let's be positive for once and say, do you know what? Every single one of them played their part. Every single one of them done their bit. We come away with a great result that, let's face it, we are half a team that we put out there. Everybody was hoping for the best. Do you know what I mean? And let's just move on. Let's just go, do you know what? That was a good result by every single person in that team. Let's get positive for once in my life.
But do you know what I will say, and I will agree with some comments in terms of Dessers tonight, that there was a couple of times he could have held up the ball better, he could have made better passes. I don't, in terms of an overall performance, if you were doing it by numbers, everybody would be on an 8 and Dessers would be on like a 6.5. Right? That's about the best I can say. I don't think Dessers played particularly well. I don't think he played that bad. I thought he was just okay. But he helped us get a 2-2 draw away in Benfica, Robert.
Listen as well. Dessers ran his heart out of there. He was chasing lost causes, and I'll put money in it. He put 110% effort in. So,
the question with him has never been about his effort. It's been about his quality. And, you know, tonight there were some moments where he probably could have, you know, used his brain a bit more, but he'd probably know we said, oh, that's where the trouble is with him. But I wouldn't dig him out where I have dug him out previously. I'd have given him a 6 out of 10.
People in the chat digging him out. And that's what I'm saying. I don't feel as if...
But
that performance, I don't believe you should be digging any player in that team tonight. I really don't. And it's annoyed me a wee bit, the fact that we've played that well tonight. We're half a team. We're a strike force that was in the bones of their arse. And there's people still digging Dessers out for their part. Well, I'm saying their part reason. They're digging Dessers out just because purely they don't like the guy. The guy played his part tonight, the same as everybody else in that squad.
He absolutely did, Richie. And if we're going to go from Cyril Dessers, let's go to Ridvan Yilmaz, who... Again, I thought was one of the best players on the park. I thought he was absolutely outstanding tonight. And this is a guy who, I can't remember if it was in the comments or somebody put it in the group chat, we were going to let go back to Turkey for £3 million. This guy, had, and people had slagged him for his height, said he wasn't physical enough, he wasn't strong enough. That boy was every ounce a top quality Rangers left back tonight and more.
Oh, not yeah, absolutely. The thought of him having potentially gone for such a small fee is just mind-blowing now with the way he's reintroduced himself back into the team. I was really pleased with the way that he judged. I think it was a Friday extra show we were talking about, you know, people used to criticize his height or say it was a potential disadvantage, but again, I was really pleased with how he was judging the flight of the ball tonight. And there were periods in that game where Benfica were resorting to a long ball, which I wasn't expecting, but I think that just goes to show how much we were frustrating them. But he was great. That a few times when there was a ball in behind, I think he recovered fairly well. Like all of them, he was just on it for the whole game, movement superb. And he was really good for providing that out ball as well, where we were having periods of, I wouldn't say under the cosh necessarily, but sticky periods. He wasn't just kind of wasteful in his distribution there. He's given a good out ball to Silva, and I think the pair of them worked really well on that left hand side. And the alternative that we might have seen at left back, I'm sure would have not. I'm not going to bring this down into some kind of Bonaparte. That's not necessary, but let's just say that they may have had some more opportunities had there been a different personnel playing on that left-hand side. So, no, really, really pleased with him, and long may it continue. He was another one, though, that looked absolutely done towards the end there. So just hoping that, and I know he's not on his own, they were all absolutely spent, but just hope that they can get in those in Big Phil's cryo chambers, or what he was saying when he first came in, because they're going to need a bit of that, aren't they?
Mark, can I just jump in? Just Yilmaz was worth $5.5 million in January, what's he worth now? If he keeps playing like that to the end of the season, what's he going to be worth?
I don't buy that he was ever going anywhere, because nothing came to fruition. And see, through December and into January, that boy was putting stuff on his social media, just emphasizing how much he wanted to be at the club, emphasizing how happy he was. And all he needed was a shot, and he's got a shot, and he's taking it. Now we're seeing the best of him. He's getting better and better every game. He's grown in stature. You're going about him being 5 foot. He's swagging about the pitch like he's 7 foot tall. And he's really grown into his position. He's starting to have relationships on the park, relationships, I mean, with different players. You can see that. He's got a confidence. He's hitting a shot in the first half to about 20 yards. I love him. Absolutely love him. And I'm here for that. As
you,
I say,
just want to share the air miles with him.
Well, maybe so. But no, on a serious note, he's a class act. He's a really class act. And you can see why we paid the fee for him now. He just took a wee while to settle in Glasgow and get his chance.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. And he's quality. Robert, I'll come straight back to you with two super chats that I'll put together again. KW channel member, thank you so much for the support. Rangers footed a bit in the last third. Big fellow would crack up. I don't know if I agree with that. And the reason I don't is because I lock eye the views. Super chat, thank you very much, Locke.
Sorry, that name's brilliant. Okay.
It's such a good name, isn't it? It's such a good name. No goals to open play from Benfica. Then he did a very harsh penalty kick and an own goal to get a draw. They will bottle it at a bounce in Ibrox. So they 2 points together, Robert, with KW saying that we footed a bit in the last third. Big fella be cracking up. And Locke's point on, actually, Benfica needed what he classes as a harsh penalty and an own goal to scrape a draw.
I don't think we footed the boot. It took me ages to read that. I'm glad you pronounced that. I don't think we footed the boot at all. I think we were good in the defensive areas when we got the chance to get up there. Maybe, as you said before, Silva was trying to a bit, harder than usual because he was in his home country and he used to play for a rival as well. You could see when he went off, he was in a wee bit with the supporters as well as they were jeering him. So as for getting, Benfica back to Ibrox, I think, dare I say it, the pressure is going to be on us now because we fancy ourselves at home to anyone.
I'm so confident, Robert, against them at home. I'm ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying, I. So you've got to remember, as Richie said in his last point, some of the guys look spent. There was a comment up there saying that Stirling had an ice pack strapped to his hamstring as he left. I've not seen that. Hope that's not true.
No, he did.
Well, that's worrying. And also, we've got an important cup game at the weekend against a team that, you know, we're always going to battle with. So it's there's a lot to get through to get to this game. So I just hope that we're in good shape come next Thursday and we can have a right good go at it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Mark, put this to you, Jacob, in the starry-eyed shadows. See your guys in their chat. They've got the best names, by the way.
Is Jacob on his own tonight, or are all the starry-eyed shadows with him? Did they come up with that point together?
I think they come up with that point together.
Brilliant.
Aye, absolutely. So thank you, Jacob.
Who's the starry-eyed shadows? That's what I want to know. That is Robert, the big question.
Robert will tell you. I've not got a clue, Robert will tell you. Who are the starry-eyed shadows, Robert?
You say that like I'm part of the band. I don't know. It sounds like a band to me.
You had me believing it was a band there, Robert. See, next time, Robert, see if you don't know, don't say anything, right?
I'll sit back down.
But to Jacob's point, Mark, which is basically what you've been saying all night, every player gave everything tonight. Dessers had no service because we were playing with no wingers. What a night. And it puts you in the mood and you look so much more forward to next week.
Yeah, I think so. I think that a lot of us get into this game were excited, but a lot of us thought to ourselves, see if we get beat and we get put out, it's not the end of the world. No, it's absolute game on and we're all buzzing.
No, if we get put out, come on, go.
I don't know about that, but as I said, now we're going to be gutted if we get put out because did I say it at the pre-match? I think I said it at the pre-match about we've not really, it's kind of creeped up on us. We've not really had European football for a right few weeks, and now all of a sudden we've had a taste of it again, and makes you want even more of it, doesn't it? Just that big European nights and
it's just that we're so good in Europe, Mark. We're just so good in Europe.
This is why we love the game, isn't it? This is why we love football, because you can get through every range of emotion in one game. It's absolutely brilliant.
There was much made, wasn't there, about this early kickoff next week, and you know how our supporters going to get there at that time, finishing their work, the traffic in Glasgow. I tell you now, there won't be an empty seat in Highbrook come quarter to quarter to six next Thursday.
Do you know what will be empty? Everybody's work will be empty because they'll be empty at their job.
I don't finish till half.
What will happen is everybody will miss a game miss their work to travel to the game, and then cause we get through, everybody will be steaming drunk and they'll miss their work because they'll all get a hangover.
Well, see, because I do this, I can't miss my work because my work will know. So annoying. I can't even take it.
You're always trying to set up, you're always going. So you're always setting it up. So anybody watching this will go, do you know what? He's falling apart, man. He maybe know about what tomorrow.
And then you'll see me on the reaction, giving it loudly after we beat them. And then I'll get the sack. But no, and I think it has said, I mean, KW, Sterling's ice pack was for the surgery he just performed on himself. which is so true, Richie. We spoke about his goal, where he came from and stuff like that, but this boy has been an absolute revelation for this football club. A guy who, when he first came in, I think most of us went, oh, what have we done here? Who's this we've brought in? But, I mean, you could make him as a steward and he would be a brilliant job. This boy can do everything.
I know. I remember the conversations in the summer about, you know, he seemed to have a fair amount of pedigree, but we wondered how he was going to get in the team. Obviously, you don't really want to be vying with the right back. And then we saw him against Morton in the cup, and he didn't have his best game. And then I thought, and that was at right back. And then, or maybe in a slightly more advanced role than the right, but either way, he wasn't brilliant that day. He's just transformed. It's almost like his level of fitness is just insane to me. Like the way he can just he seems to just like gallop past players, like gets full-blooded challenges where he wins the ball most of the time, and then next time you see him, he's back up the other end of the pitch, marauding into the box, scoring a goal. It's just, it's absolutely phenomenal. I must say, though, when he got that booking, I was thinking he's the type of player that you don't want booked early doors, because he's just, I don't think he knows how to go half-heartedly into a challenge, does he? He's a full-blooded player, which we all love to see, but I was thinking to myself, oh, is he going to make a daft one at some point? But no, brilliant performance, and he deserves all the plaudits that he's getting.
Oh, am I on mute? No, I'm not. Absolutely, he does. Let's hear for the manager, shall we? Before we wrap things up, let's hear what the manager had to say about that excellent result and performance.
Proud of what you saw from your players?
For sure. They showed all character, the right mentality, really fighting spirit. And in moments also good football with two really good goals, really nice goals. If you see then the goals we get against, those were unlucky goals. So that's a little bit tough after this evening. We were really, really close by doing an exceptional thing, because no team ever won in Europa League here in their stadium. So we were really close of doing that.
It was a really strong start from the squad, a fast start with that early goal. That must have pleased you too.
Yeah, of course, and also the way we scored the goal, because it was a really good action, what we trained on, so that's important to score goals like that. And two really nice goals, because the second one also. And next to that, we had several really good opportunities to score more. I had the feeling if we could score the 1-3, they would have been dead. We were close. We had a good chance for Cyril, I think, with the head. If we can score that one, then it was another story too.
A first senior career goal for Dujon Sterling as well. It was a big moment for him at that time too.
Yeah, but Dujon is doing very good, and I know in that position also that he can be important and score goals and be important for the team. So he's showing that again, that he's not only good as a fullback or in the midfield, but he can play those positions also.
You also handed out a European debut to Cole McKinnon tonight. Does that show the trust you have in the young players here, and how hard has he been working to deserve that moment?
Yeah, he deserved that moment because of the things he's been showing in training last couple of weeks. He's really growing, and also because of the injury situation, of course. So we had four wingers out. Ross was not really fit, not 200% to play long or to play enough minutes. So it was a risk to put him on. I had to do it at the end because Fabio was that tired also after playing a really good game. So yeah, I'm really happy with Cole's mentality and what he's been showing. And otherwise, I will never give chances like that in an important game like that.
The tie's obviously in the balance heading into a big night at Ibrox next Thursday now too.
Yeah, I expect a full stadium and crazy atmosphere, what our supporters can do, and that they can give us extra powers, because you see it's a team with a lot of quality, so you need to play a really big game to qualify. But with the support of the fans, we can do amazing things. We know
a full stadium you shall get, Gaffer, and the support will be right behind the full team next week. I have absolutely no doubt about it. Just quickly then, Robert, you mentioned a couple of things there. Firstly, I think we should give a shout out to Cole McKinnon, because it's not one of those ones, he just put him on because he had to. If he didn't trust that young boy in such a massive game, then he would have just left the players on, even if they were knackered. So a big shout out to him for getting his chance.
Absolutely. Listen, it could have been an even better night for him, actually, because as soon as he comes on, Silva does some great work on the left-hand side, flashes it across the box, I think comes to him probably unexpectedly, and it, I don't know if he kind of gets a shot at it, but it's no perfectly executed. But not, he can be proud of himself. I'm sure it's a big night for him. He'll want to now build on that. He'll have seen what's happened with McCausland and him taking his chance. He'll be wanting to in and around it, and I'm sure he'll be trying to get back on the pitch come Sunday as well.
And he made a fantastic defensive block at the end as well.
He did. Yeah, you're spot on. So, he, box to box, he was everywhere. He's probably done what the manager's told him to do to the letter, because I'm sure if he doesn't, he'll not be back in the squad. So, it's a big night for him. And as I say, I was quite shocked when I saw him lining up to come on. I'm thinking, what's going on here? But no, he's in on merit, as the manager says today, when they're throwing him in if he didn't think he was ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally then, Mark, on the gaffer himself, he seemed delighted with that. He the way he was talking, it was almost, if we could have went and got that third goal, then the tie would have been gone. We would have been basically through. But I'm running out of superlatives for the manager, for the job that he's done, for the way that he's changed this team around, to go and beat Betis away from home, to go and get a draw against Benfica, to put us back ahead in a title race. I mean, what a man.
Absolutely. Here's another one that could sleep with your wife, honey.
100%. I'll even go and do his shopping for him while he's there.
While he's doing it, awesome. I'll go wash your car. Bar in. No, but in a serious note, how calm did they sound? How relaxed? How good is that? That's for me. And the wee one-liner there, crazy atmosphere at Ibrox. He knows, didn't he? He knows it's going to be crazy. Aye. That's brilliant. I love that. But yeah, listen, I think we all kind of see shades of other managers that have been here in the past, shades of successful managers that have been here in the past. I like the fact that he's very, very much his own man. Very much his own man. He's self-confident. He's kind of, as I said earlier as well, that kind of breeds that kind of enthusiasm for a game, and that kind of confidence breeds confidence in other people and the people around about you as well. I think the fact that he's got that kind of stern, singular focus as well is a massive thing as well for him. I just, as I said, same way with him and Jack Butland have been the two best signings in years for Rangers as it stands. So, as I said, we could sit here all day saying how good he is. I mean, the best thing to say that can tell how good he is Martin's going to let him sleep with his missus.
And can I just say to everybody in the comments who's slagging me, the joke's on all of yous. I don't have a wife, right? The joke's on all of yous. So get it up a lot of ease in the comments.
Sorry, husband. Sorry, Martin. Husband.
No. It's a husband.
Husband. Life partner, isn't it, Martin? It's a life partner you've got.
It's meant to be a wee trans joke.
Whoever it is, they're getting passed about like a spliff. That's what's
happening. Well, I was going to say, it's a trans joke. You can't make trans jokes anymore, can't you? Right, so final point, and I'll get to you, Richie, and then we'll let everybody get to their beds or get back to drinking or whatever it is they're doing on this Thursday night. Mel, you could hear our 3,000 supporters tonight in that massive stadium. I thought about, again, our away support, the numbers that were over there, and you could hear them singing as clear as day. Fantastic support.
Absolutely phenomenal. Every single time when the camera panned up to the stand after the Lawrence header, it was just absolute, like just the sea of people. It's just absolutely, you'd never get tired of seeing it. And, you know, it's unrivaled, absolutely phenomenal. And there might just be a little party in Dublin to be had, dare I say it. Oh, I'll close on that, shall I?
I think that'll do us there. Do not book your flights yet, folks, because Richie gets most things wrong. But yeah, look, we're back tomorrow night, 7:30 for Rabble Extra, where we will no doubt discuss this game again, and we will look ahead to the Hibs game at the weekend, and we'll talk everything and anything Rangers. If you're watching on YouTube, and by the way, thank you to every single person who tuned in tonight. Obviously, it's been a big game and a good result, and we get more viewers than we usually do. And if you like what you're viewing, please do subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're trying to head towards 10,000 subscribers by the end of the season. Give the show a like and follow us on all the socials, all the links for which are in the description. Thank you to every single person who put in a super chat tonight. Your support goes a long way in helping the podcast grow. So thank you so much for that. Hey, Robert, Mark, Richie, thank you for staying up late. I know it's well past your bedtime, Robert. So I better get going shortly. So yeah, thank you to everybody who tuned in, everybody in the comments, everybody who listens back on our audio downloads. Thank you for helping to support the podcast. And we'll see you all tomorrow night right here at 7:30. Podcast Network.